welcome to church today. It's great to see you all. We have been looking at Jehovah Jireh. Everyone say Jireh. Jireh. God is our provider. He is Jehovah Jireh, and His grace is sufficient for our every need. Do you believe it? Well, this morning we're going to continue to look at Father as Jehovah Jireh. We say it all the time. We pray it. We hear it at the prayer meetings. Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh. We sing it. God, you are Jehovah Jireh. But where does it come from? We're going to look at that today. Our God, our Father, has many different names, several names listed in the Bible. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Do you need a healing touch from the Lord today? Call on Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. And we are looking at Jehovah Jireh, our provider. The name Jireh literally means the Lord will see to it. The Lord will see my needs and He will see to it. Amen. He will provide for my needs. And last week we looked at that. That He is the one. He is the one that can meet our needs because He sees us. God sees you. Just as we saw last week, He saw the widow who was destitute and she had nothing, but He saw her and she knew where to take her need to Jehovah Jireh. We heard last week that He is provider. And not only with financial needs. We looked at that last week in the widow. She had nothing. But she was also grieving. She needed comfort. God provided comfort. So what do you need today from Jireh? Is it shelter? Is it assurance? Is it comfort? Is it love? Do you need strength? Call on Jehovah Jireh. For He can give that to you. He is your provider. And this week, on Father's Day, we're going to look at a father and son story in the Bible. Today, we're going to look at Abraham. Now, if you are a woman-to-woman lady, and I hope you are, and I hope you all come along to woman-to-woman when we all start back again in August. At the beginning of this year, we went through 6 or 7 weeks looking at Abraham. We discovered that Abraham was called a friend of God's. How awesome is that? That God calls you friend. You'll find all about Abraham in the book of Genesis. Read the book of Genesis over the summer. When you're having your spirit-soaked last summer, why not read? I know it's easy for you to say. Why don't you read the book of Genesis? You will never go to Waterstones and buy another book again. It is full of it in there. Drama, suspense, romance, death. It's all in there. And in there is Abraham's life story. And Abraham doesn't just feature in the book of Genesis, but he also pops up in the New Testament. So good. They mentioned him a few times in the New Testament, and in particular in chapter 11 of Hebrews, which is commonly known as the Hall of Faith. And we read these words about Abraham in the Hall of Faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made it his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was his wife, was past childbearing age, was unable to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Amen. Mentions the word faith there quite a few times, funnily enough, in the Hall of Faith. But here we have Abraham, a man of faith, a man of obedience. We also read about him in the book of James. Jesus' brother said this, Abraham believed God. He believed God. He had faith in God, and God called him friend. It was credited to him as righteousness, and God called him friend. So he was a faithful man. He was an obedient man. God called him friend. And you're going to see over the summer, because you're going to read the book of Genesis and Abraham's life, that he went through many things. There were highs and lows. There were good times and not so good times. Can you say that about your own life? There were times where Abraham messed up. There were times where Abraham messed up badly. There were times where Abraham went out in his own strength and very quickly realized that we can't do it on our own. However, in all the dramatic highs and lows of Abraham's life, and in all the stories of Abraham's life, there is none that gets me more than the one that we're about to look at this morning. And the story that we'll look at this morning is the setting for the revelation of this name, Jehovah Jireh. So before I share the story with you, I just want you to ponder something for a moment. I want you to think about this for a moment, this question. You don't need to share it with your neighbor. I just want you to think about it. What is most precious to you? Let me put it this way. What is your most precious possession? What would you cling on to you if you had 3 minutes to leave your house? 3 minutes to leave your house, what would you take with you? Well, I asked this same question to the women-to-women ladies. We got some interesting answers, let me tell you. Hair straighteners. Mobile phone. Some even gave the Sunday school answer and said their Bible. Some said their cat. What was interesting about the cat, though, was that the cat was chosen over the husband and the children. In all seriousness, though, for many of us, the answer to that question would be that life is most important. That our life, our eternal life, our salvation, it's most important. That the life of our loved ones, our children, our grandchildren, because life is important. Let me share a wee story with you now. A plane took off. When flying over the mountains, the engine began to fail. The plane started to lose control and was headed for the mountains. The plane crashed. The crisis team turned up to clean up the remains, as there was no way anyone would have survived this crash. However, as one member of the cleanup team was clearing away the rubble, they heard a noise. Sounded like a very small whisper. It was coming from a dead man that was bent over his airline seat. The crash team went over. They lifted up the dead man's body, and underneath was his child, alive. Life is precious. We know that. God knows that. God knows that life is precious to you. He knows that the life of your family, your children, your grandchildren are precious to you. And knowing that life is precious, God the Father gave up the most precious thing that he had, which was his son. And he allowed him to die for us. For there is no greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friend. Not only did he call Abraham friend, but you too are God's friend. And he gave the most precious thing that he had, the life of his child. Jesus did that for us. Why? Well, because of love. All because of love. You know what God did for us in sacrificing his child? Quite often it's hard for us to comprehend that, isn't it? Maybe as a parent, it's hard to comprehend that. For instance, would you do it? Would you do it? Would you give up your life for someone else, for instance? I would maybe do it for my child. I would maybe throw myself over my child. But would you do it for your enemy? Would you do it for the ones that have hurt you and spoken bad about you? Would you give up your life or the life of a loved one for them? Probably not. Would you do it for someone you don't know? Probably not. Surrender is what we're looking at today. Let me read to you from Genesis chapter 22. I'm going to read quite a lengthy portion of scripture here, but I want you to really go with the story. You can read it along in your Bibles or from the screen above, or can encourage you just to close your eyes and listen to the story afresh today and everything that takes place in this story. Genesis 22, verses 1 to 22. On this Father's Day, let's look at this father and son. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. And on the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and he placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them went together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up. There in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said on the mountain, "The Lord, it will be provided." Then comes the blessing. 15. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all the nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." Amen, and may God bless the reading of his word. What a story. I mean, come on, after everything that this man has been through, it gets me every time. God commands Abraham to take his son. Now you need to know the background. His only son, We know he has another son, but this is the child of promise. This is the child that they had waited and waited and waited for. This is the child that God promised. And now God is saying, see that child that you waited for, that I promised you, take him up that mountain and sacrifice him. Not only is he asked to do this, give up his child, but he's giving up on the promise by doing this. The promise that God made to him and Sarah, that out of them would come a mighty nation. But how will that promise be fulfilled if this child is no longer here? Can you imagine? You probably can't imagine, because I've tried to put myself in this position. Can you imagine how Abraham must have felt? Why would God? Why would a loving God do such a thing? Did God want this child dead? Was God going back on his promise? I'm just speaking out questions that I know that maybe some of you in here are asking right now, especially if you're hearing this story for the first time. I love scripture. And I love that there's little clues in scripture, little golden nuggets in scripture. And I love how there's comfort for us as the reader. Not so much for Abraham at this point, okay? But there's certainly comfort for us as the reader. And I love what God does here. Because in verse 1, we read these words, God tested Abraham. Hallelujah, it's just a test. Whew. He doesn't die, spoiler alert. Just the test. Brings me comfort. Hope it brings you comfort. But not for Abraham yet. Not yet. So how does it make you feel to hear today that God might test you? That God tests us. Maybe you're here today and you are in a testing time right now. Maybe you're here today and you can testify to a time in your life where God took you through a test. I know it's hard to think that God would test us. Why? Why does he do that? There's several reasons why he might do that. There's a few verses that will come up on the screen as to why God might test us. Deuteronomy 8 being one of them. To prove character. To lead us to a point of humility. To lead us to a place of obedience. We see this here. Surrender. We are tested to make our faith genuine. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, even he was tested and went through testing times. You can read those scriptures in your own time. You see, God never wanted Isaac dead. Hallelujah. It was a test. What type of test was it then for Abraham? I said at the very beginning, it was a test of surrender. Abraham had been walking with the Lord a long time by this point. As I've shared already, many highs and lows. He'd called on the name of the Lord. He'd left everything behind. He'd cast out the old in order to embrace the new. He'd lifted everything up to God in prayer. He was a man of faith. And now was the ultimate test of laying it all down. It's a test of surrender. It's an ultimate test. Now, Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 in the New King James says, after these things. After these things. What things are we talking about? Was everything that I've hinted towards, everything that I've alluded towards, everything that Abraham had gone through in his life up until this point, and there was a lot. So after all of this, after all of that walking with the Lord, after all of this was the time of ultimate testing. Why now, after all this time, God? Well, you can only assume that God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. Let me tell you something else about testing. God will not allow us to be tempted any more than we can endure. In fact, he offers us a way out always. Perhaps, now this is just a perhaps. This is just something that I've pondered. Perhaps if God had set this particular test 40 years ago, Abraham just may not have passed the test. Just a thought. You see, after all of those years of walking with the Lord, after all of that messing up and God picking him back up again, Abraham learned some stuff. Have you learned some stuff over the years? Let's be honest, church. There's ways in which we would respond and react today that you would not have done 20 years ago or before you met Jesus. Maybe there's someone here today that before you met Jesus, you got easily offended. You would retaliate. You would speak curse words. You would explode. You were an exploder. It would take you 6 months to speak to someone again, whereas now it only takes you 6 weeks. And you're working on getting to 6 hours. Amen? You see, this is a process of sanctification that Jesus is making us more like him day by day. We are not the same as we once were. Hallelujah. But we're not perfect either. After all of these things, after everything that our brother Abraham had gone through, he'd learned a few things. And he'd learned to trust God. Let's look at their relationship. In verse 1, how does God refer to Abraham? Well, he refers to him by name. Abraham. Abraham. This was personal. This was a personal request from God to his son. God wants to have that kind of relationship with you. He wants an up-close and personal, deep relationship with you. He doesn't want your relationship to be an overspill of your husband's or your wife's or your mum's or your dad's or your granny's or your granddad's. He wants your relationship with him to be personal. And he wants to speak your name. And he wants to spend time with you quietly, privately. And he has things that he wants to share with you. So where might he be testing you in your life? Is it your prayer life? Is he testing you there? Get up half an hour early. Set your alarm. Get on your knees before you start the day. Is he testing you in your private discipline, in your worship? Is he saying, be more free? Let the chains go. Worship me freely. Is he saying, let go and lay down? Where do you need to surrender? What are you holding on to? Is it pride? Is it friendships? Is it habits? Is it lifestyle choices? Is it the way that you think? Is he encouraging you today to forgive others? What might you need to let go? Surrender. Sacrifice. So let's come to the sacrifice, shall we? God gives Abraham a task. Take Isaac up the mountain and sacrifice him. So he sets out on a 3-day journey. And did you notice that he sets out early? He sets out immediately. No delay. Why? Why is there no delay? Was it to beat the rush hour traffic? I don't think so. Well, perhaps if he'd hung about, popped on the coffee, had a cup of coffee, had a think about it, he might have talked himself out of it. He might have said, did I really hear from God? Did God really say this to me? I'll have another coffee. Nah, just go back to bed. Without delay. Maybe if he'd have hung about, Sarah would have got up. Morning, darling. Good morning, sweetheart. How are you today? I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. What are you doing today? Well, me and some of the girls, we're going to go down to the well. We're going to scrub some laundry. Have you seen the state of Isaac's socks? Oh, my goodness. What are you doing? Well, here's the thing. I'm going to take Isaac, you know that boy that we waited all of these years for, and then I'm going to take him on a 3-day journey, which is far away from you, darling. And when I get there, I'm going to take him up a mountain, and well, I'm going to take a dagger out my back pocket, and then I'm going to stick it through him. Now, here's the thing. I can't share with you from this stage what I would have said. And I know that I'm one of the pastors of this church, but I just need to be completely honest with you today. So here's putting it mildly. Over my dead body, are you taking my son up any mountain on any 3-day journey? Take me, but you're not getting him. You're not getting my child. See, the lioness would come out, wouldn't she? Doesn't do that. Doesn't hang about. He hears the voice of God and he responds. Church, when God speaks, we need to listen. And we don't want to dilly-dally. Because we don't want to miss all that God's got for us. So what do we see here? Abraham responding immediately to the voice of God. Perhaps after all these years of walking with the Father, all the mistakes that he's made, perhaps he's learned his lessons. Perhaps he now knows it's God's way or no way. It's Yahweh. But can you imagine this lesson? Off they go. The old man, Abraham, his traveling servants, the donkey, and the teenage boy. Yes, church, the teenage boy. You see, I like to trick myself into thinking there's a wee baby in a pram, cuckoo caca, completely unawares and oblivious to what's actually taking place. But this is not what's taking place. Samuel, stand up for a minute, just for 2 seconds, son. It's a boy. He's nearly a teenager. Boys ask questions. You can sit back down. Can you imagine that 3-day journey? Where are we going? How long is it going to take? When will we get there? When we get there, Dad, what are we going to do? Are we going to go hunting today, Dad? What are we going to hunt for, Dad? You see, Abraham is the leader of his people. He's the main dude. Everybody looked up to him. And on this Father's Day, I believe that this wee boy, Isaac, would have looked up to his daddy. He was his role model. He was his idol. And he will have spent many a time out with his daddy. He knew all about sacrifice. How on earth did this man get through this 3 days? But you see, by this point in his life, after these things, we see a man of faith that is no longer doubting. He heard God. He saw God. He walked with God. He saw God come through for him time and time again. He knew that God was Jehovah Jireh. And we see a real shift, and we see a real change, and a real trust and confidence in God. And in verse 5, there's a clue. Love this. We will come back. He speaks to the servants. You can stay here. You stay here. We're going up the mountain, but we will come back. It doesn't say, I'm coming back, not sure about him. No, doesn't say that. It doesn't say, I'm coming back, but I'm praying my socks off that he's coming too. No, it says, we will come back. Such confidence, such trust in Jehovah Jireh. And then we come to the altar. We come to the sacrifice. And this bit gets me every single time. These harrowing words from Isaac. Daddy, where is the lamb? He's a teenage boy. He's not daft. He's looking around and he's thinking, wait a minute. I'm here. You're here. You're making a fire here. Where is the sacrifice? Who's going to be sacrificed today? And to go back to the point that this is not a wee baby in your arms you're just going to strap on the fire. This is a teenage boy that you're going to have to get on that fire. And you're going to have to bind him. Abraham responds. This is why we know that God is Jireh. This is why we know that Abraham is now a man of faith, because he speaks to Isaac and he says, God will provide. God will provide. Did he know how he's going to provide? No. Was the answer staring him right in the face? No. But he knew with all of his heart that God would provide. If you're here today, you might not know how it's going to happen. You might not be able to see it right yet. But let me encourage you today that God is your provider. He is Jehovah Jireh. What a statement. What a confidence in the Lord. And this is when we see God being referred to or named as Jireh, our provider. Because a voice came. An angel, a familiar voice. Don't you love that familiar voice? He came through for you last season when you had that little bit of trouble. He came through for you 2 years ago when that person let you down. He spoke to you that time when you were betrayed. He spoke to you that time when you had that high fever. It's that familiar voice. And the familiar voice speaks to Abraham and he says, you don't need to do it. You don't need to do it. And I picture this scene and it's just so amazing as he's jumping up and down and he's ripping off the cords off of Isaac and the two of them are doing a merry dance together and he's kissing every part of his head. Oh, I love you, son. And he's hugging and I'm squeezing his cheeks. He's saying, it's okay. And the boy's going, what on earth just happened? What kind of sick man are you? Come on. But he's like, son, it's okay. God came through. God is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. Look at what he's done for us. It's amazing. And then he looks over. The story gets better. He looks over and there caught in the thickets is a ram. There is the provision. There's the provision you've been waiting for. It's right there. You didn't need to sacrifice Isaac because I have provided the ram. Now, it's interesting, church, that it's a ram. It's not a lamb. Why? You've guessed it. Dorcas guesses it. Because the lamb was still to come. Because Jesus, the Lamb of God, who died for our sins, to take away the sins of the world, the ultimate sacrifice was still to come. Jesus Christ. John 1:29, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. He died for our sins. And then we see that blessing, 15 to 18, God saying, you know, I told you. I told you out of you that a mighty nation would come. He reiterates the promise. You see, God kept his promise. God doesn't keep his promise because of anything that you and I do. God keeps his promise because it's who he is. He is a promise keeper. And he promised that out of this child would come a mighty nation. And God does not go back on his promise. Even at times where you think, oh really? Is he going to go through with it? He does not give up on you. If he has promised you, he is faithful to the promise. What a story. What a turnaround. He provided the sacrifice. It was a ram chosen in place of Isaac, just as Jesus was chosen in my place. Just as Jesus was chosen in your place. The promise keeper kept his promise. Jehovah Jireh came through and he provided. You know, some don't make the journey. Some don't make the journey. They fall. They listen to others. They get dissuaded. They hang about and get put off. Let that not be us. The beginning of the year, God gave a vision of us running our race. There might need to be some sacrifices in our life in order to run our race. God's called us to live the unhindered life. So let's not let anything hold us back from running our race. So maybe you need to lay some things down. Surrender some stuff. Maybe it's friendships. Maybe it's your time in order to keep on running your race. Maybe you're here today and what you need to lay down is your sin. Perhaps you've never encountered Jesus, but today you're hearing that Jesus gave up his life for you, just as God provided for Abraham and Isaac. Well, today maybe it's about saying, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my heart. I give you my heart. I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. So I just want to finish with this wee story. And then Jesus cried out in the garden, not thine will, but your Father's. Then the Father, he got two pieces of wood and he shaped them into a cross. Then he nailed his son's hands and feet to the wood. Then he watched as his son's life drained from him. And when the time came, he allowed what was most precious to him to die. Why did he not step in and save the boy's life? Well, because you and I would not be free otherwise. So, Father God, we come before your throne of grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord God, that you are here. We thank you that you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Lord God, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you that you gave up the most precious thing to you, your son Jesus, and that he sacrificed, he surrendered all so that, Lord God, we could be free. So today, after all that we've heard over this last 2 weeks about you being our provider, we just want to say thank you, God. We just want to say thank you, Jesus, with all of our heart. We thank you for the life that you have given us. We want to thank you, Lord God, that your grace is sufficient for our every need. Lord, we are encouraged today. We are encouraged today not to give up. We are strengthened today because we know that, Lord, you do not give up on us, that you are your promise keeper. You said you would be. You said you would never leave us, nor would you forsake us. So, Lord, we want to thank you for that. We want to give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise today that is due your mighty name, Jehovah Jireh, in Jesus' name. Amen. Church.